Is it really necessary to live by Bible standards? Why is it beneficial to do so? We invite you to listen as our circuit overseer, Brother Emil Krishna, delivers the discourse, Avoid Mocking God. In what sense?
When it comes to planting literal seeds, few people can argue the adage, you reap what you sow. Right? Isn't that true? Whether you're gardening or you're farming, the type of seed that you sow in the ground will determine the type of crop that you will yield. Right? So if you plant carrot seeds, you're not going to get peas, you're not going to get a lettuce or turnips. Instead, you'll get exactly what you planted. Carrots. Well, interestingly, the Bible uses the same fundamental principle when it comes to our conduct. I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, because there it mentions this fundamental truth. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. And as we read the verse, we'll also see something that we want to avoid. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be misled. God is not one to be mocked. For whatever a person is sowing, this he will also reap. So there you have it. When it comes to our conduct, whatever we sow, that is what we will reap. Now you notice the danger that we want to avoid is mocking God. You notice there, God is not one to be mocked. Now, what does that mean, the word mock? Well, in the dictionary, it means to tease or laugh at in a scornful or contemptuous manner. Synonyms are ridicule, jeer at, sneer at, deride, scorn, make fun of, laugh at, scoff at. Well, sadly, people today ignore that vital principle that you sow what you reap. And so in a sense, they laugh at, they scorn at God, saying, oh, no, I can do whatever I want to do, and I'm not going to reap the consequences of it. In fact, I'll improve my life. And so sadly, that's why we see that today, as the Bible accurately describes as part of the last days, people are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, unthankful, disloyal, no natural affection, not open to any agreement, fierce, without love of goodness, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. You know, one survey that was done in 2008, hundreds of young adults, and it was reported in the New York Times, David Brooks, said that what's disheartening is how bad these young adults are thinking and talking about when it comes to moral issues. They said most people felt that rape and murder were wrong, but aside from these extreme cases, moral thinking didn't even enter the picture. Even when they were considering things like drunken driving, cheating in school, or cheating on a partner. Many of them just said, it doesn't really matter what's right and wrong. Others say that if it feels right, do it. Go with the heart. And so here, these researchers, they were appalled at the attitude of people today. Now, why is that so dangerous to continue with that type of an attitude, to actually mock God? Well, we know that this system of things, these last days will soon end. Jehovah will bring judgment on it. So now is not the time to mock God. And that's why it's important that if we really want to live and enjoy blessings, we need to honor God. And if we're going to honor Jehovah God and respect him and his standards, then we really need to think about our view of Jehovah's righteous standards. Because we're surrounded by people that have no respect for Jehovah's standards. Now, we recognize that Jehovah has the right to set standards. In fact, notice the beautiful scripture in Isaiah chapter 48, verses 17 and 18. It's just, we sense Jehovah's appeal like a loving father towards his children. In Isaiah chapter 48, verses 17 and 18. So have you got it? Isaiah chapter 48, starting in verse 17. This is what Jehovah says, your repurchaser, the Holy One of Israel. I, Jehovah, am your God, the one teaching you to benefit yourself, the one guiding you in the way you should walk. If only you would pay attention to my commandments, then your peace would become just like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You notice Jehovah reminds us, he says that I am your God. Jehovah is the sovereign of the universe. Jehovah is also our creator. He's our judge, lawgiver. Jehovah knows what's best for us. Just like a manufacturer of any product knows what's best for that product and how to handle it in a way that will bring the greatest rewards. So Jehovah, he created us. He's our God. He knows what's best for us. And notice the appeal there, right? He's teaching us to benefit ourselves. He's showing us, guiding us in the way we should walk. And then can you see that warmth of appeal there? If only. You know, like a parent, maybe a child started to take a certain course, and you know it's going to lead to disaster, and they're going to suffer for the rest of their life. And Jehovah's appealing, like, if only you would just pay attention and listen to my commandments. Then you'll enjoy peace and righteousness, unending, like the river, flowing river, or like the waves of the sea. Now, some people, you know, because today we live in such a permissive world, they reject Jehovah's standards. They say, you know what, this was all written, centuries ago, 2,000 years ago. It's out of date and impractical. And they might even use the illustration, you know, can you imagine running a computer that's now obsolete for years, using that manual to operate a new up-to-date computer? So maybe a manual that's running Windows 3.1, if anybody remembers that era, and using it for a computer that's running on Windows 10. Now, at first, that might seem like logical. Yeah, you need an up-to-date manual because things are up-to-date. And they think, you know, with the fast-moving technology and science and modern world. But when you really think about it, that reasoning is flawed. Because it's true, science and technology is constantly changing, but not human nature. That hasn't changed. People want to know the true meaning in life. People want to have a happy, productive, secure life, family relations, good friends. Humans can't address those needs. Only our Creator can. And the guidance that He provides is timeless. It applies to all people, regardless of their background. His advice never becomes obsolete. So people who fail to accept Jehovah's righteous standards, thinking they can ignore it and not have to suffer any consequences, in reality, they are mocking God. So what are the benefits if we are to follow Jehovah's righteous standards that will motivate us to choose Him and not mock Him? Well, let's look at three examples where we truly benefit from following the guidance that Jehovah provides. So the first area is sexual morality. Now today, anything goes, right? And we see with morals, people do whatever they want. They view marriage, stability in marriage, as old-fashioned. But Jehovah's view on sexual morality is quite clear. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. So there in verse 9, clearly states there, or do you not know that unrighteous people will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be misled. Hey, we heard that just earlier, right? We read in Galatians, do not be misled. Those who are sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who submit to homosexual acts, men who practice homosexuality. So you notice that immorality, that would include premarital sex, extramarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, those who practice these things are viewed as unrighteous. That's against Jehovah's standards. Interestingly, a survey that was done in Germany, people were asked what factors are good for important for a good marriage. At the top of the list was mutual faithfulness. And that's exactly what the Bible encourages, right? For husband and wife to remain loyal and faithful to each other. And when they do that and reserve sexual relations to within the marriage arrangement, it provides security, peace of mind, self-respect. It's also a good environment if they have any children. Think about the consequences of immorality. Disease, sexually transmitted diseases often, plague, millions. AIDS has resulted in millions of deaths because of immoral activity. And then think about the emotional, mental trauma when one commits adultery. The damage that's caused that could go on for years afterwards. Then there's could lead to divorce, single-parent families, illegitimate pregnancies. And then as a result, millions every year commit abortions because they have a child that they do not want. And even ones that may think they get away with it, even just one act of immorality often scars them emotionally, mentally. That's the sad consequences of ignoring Jehovah's standards when it comes to morals. When ones respect Jehovah's arrangement when it comes to morals sexually, in the family arrangement, it results in strong, stable families, which in turn results in strong, stable communities. One European politician declared, "The traditional family remains to this day the most important haven of human security and purpose." So it builds a stable society. So would we want to reap those sad consequences because of engaging in immorality? Even for a moment? Certainly, we avoid that by respecting Jehovah's standards on sexual morality. Let's look at a second example when it comes to honesty. Now, people today often view themselves as honest, but if they can cheat or do something like on taxes or other areas and can get away with it, they think nothing of it. They try it. But what's God's view when it comes to honesty? Well, notice in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. "Keep praying for us, for we trust we have an honest conscience as we wish to conduct ourselves honestly in all things." So you notice Jehovah's standard when it comes to honesty? He wants us to be honest in all things. Now, following that, is that practical today? Well, notice some experiences. Here was one Cheryl from Ireland. She said, "In the past, my house was full of stolen goods, but now it is free from such things. And this gives me a clean conscience. Thinking back over the many years of dishonesty, I am grateful to Jehovah for his great mercy. It is so satisfying to go to sleep each night knowing that Jehovah is now pleased with me." So you know one benefit? Clean conscience, good night's rest. You're no longer, you know, traumatized by feelings of guilt because you did something dishonest. Here's what Tom in the United States said. "I work as an executive assistant at an international bank. In this business, honesty is often shoved aside for the sake of gaining wealth. The widespread view is, what's the harm in a little dishonesty if it promotes wealth and helps the economy?" He said, "But by being honest, I have peace of mind." So we gain self-respect, peace of mind. Or here, a woman in Japan. She said, "My supervisor at work encouraged me to lie about some missing supplies at work, but I refused. When the thieves were finally revealed, my employer thanked me for being honest. Being honest is, in a dishonest world, calls for courage. But in the end, we gain the trust and respect of others. So does honesty pay? It certainly does. Isn't a clean conscience, peace of mind, self-respect, being valued as an employer, or an employee, I should say, is that not worth being honest in all things? Certainly, we benefit. And the community benefits, too. Can you imagine the cost, because people being dishonest today? The cost to taxpayers, the extra cost to goods that we pay for, because so many people are dishonest. Let's look at a third area, and that's the use of alcohol. Now, our Creator doesn't prohibit the moderate use of alcohol. It's a personal choice if we like to drink or not. But what it does condemn is the overuse of alcohol. Notice in Proverbs chapter 23, the first part of verse 20. Proverbs chapter 23, the first part of verse 20. Do not be among those who drink too much wine. So what the Bible condemns is drinking too much, especially when it gets to the point of drunkenness. Now, our Creator, He knows what's best for us. He knows what effect alcohol can have on our mind and our body. And so that's why He cautions us about drinking too much. Now, of course, the world today, they don't care. They want to have a good time. They work hard all week, and then they want to have as much fun and as much alcohol over the weekends. But what's the consequences of drinking too much? Well, it could lead to alcohol dependency. It could eventually lead to addiction, loss of respect. One could lose family members over it, wasted income, possibly loss of employment. And then there's other effects. Alcohol is often involved in verbal and physical abuse, assaults and murder, car accidents, work-related injuries. Think of the billions of dollars that is lost to society because people drink too much. Now, one person named Tony was 40 when he gradually increased his drinks from one or two each evening to 5 or 6. Eventually, he lost count how many drinks he would have each day. And despite efforts from family and friends to try to help him, he was killed in an alcohol-related motor vehicle accident. Sometimes what alcohol can do as well is lower our inhibitions. I take, for example, John. He argued with his wife, stormed out, went to the bar. He had already had a few drinks to calm down, and then a woman approaches him. He has several more drinks. He takes off with this woman and commits adultery. Now, he said afterwards, he greatly rejected that. Like, he couldn't believe it, what he had done. He said he would have never contemplated doing that had he had not been under the influence of alcohol. And then notice in verse 32 of Proverbs 23, in verse 32, for in the end, it bites like a serpent, and it secretes poison like a viper. Large quantities of alcohol over a period of time can lead to various cancers, alcoholic hepatitis, cirrhosis of the liver, fetal alcohol syndrome, stroke, heart failure. Even just one binge of drinking could lead to coma and death. So by respecting Jehovah's view when it comes to the use of alcohol, we are protected from all those bad consequences. So those are just three examples of how Jehovah's laws, His standards, benefit us. And can you sense how Jehovah is really appealing because out of love for us? He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want other people to needlessly suffer. And that's why He provides those reminders. So how true the Bible's words that whatever a person is sowing, this he will also reap. So really, that principle helps us to appreciate that we cannot ignore God's moral laws with impunity. People can't think that they could ignore his moral laws and think that they're not going to suffer the consequences. Similar to Jehovah's physical laws. For example, gravity. Somebody might say, I don't have to worry about gravity. I can do whatever I want. Well, sooner or later, they're going to suffer the consequences. So they jump off a 30-story building. They pass the 28th floor. Hey, look, I'm still alive. Look, I can fly. Pass the 25th floor. Hey, I'm doing all right. They pass the first floor. They'll quickly feel the pain that gravity would bring on. Now, of course, when it comes to jumping off a building, the consequences are pretty immediate. What does it take? Just a few seconds to hit the ground? But when it comes to God's moral law, sometimes it may not be that quick, right? But it is still inevitable. Just like it takes time for a seedling to sprout, it takes time for the effects of our decisions to become apparent. Take, for example, the ancient nation of Israel. They provide a warning example. Turn to Hosea chapter 8, verse 2. So the book of Hosea, chapter 8. So this was with the nation of Israel. Now, they claimed to be worshiping Jehovah, but they did what was bad in Jehovah's eyes. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 2, you read there, "To me they cry out, 'My God, we, Israel, know you.'" So here, we know you. Does that mean they were respecting Jehovah's standards and laws? No, you notice it continues in verse 3, "Israel has rejected what is good." And then they were warned, "Let an enemy pursue him." And they went on for a while. They thought they were getting away with it. They were ignoring God's laws. They were doing what was bad, and it seemed like they weren't suffering any consequences. But eventually, it caught up with them. And notice in verse 7, "For it is wind that they are sowing, and they will reap a storm wind." Right? They were sowing wind, and that's exactly what they were going to get, but it was going to be a storm wind. And that's exactly what happened. Decades later, a storm wind, Assyria, came up against Israel and completely destroyed Israel, taking many captive. So they eventually suffered the consequences. So the warning for us, when we think about the nation of Israel, is that there is a direct relationship between what we do now and what happens to us later. When it comes to abusing alcohol, we might say, "Hey, I'm okay, I can hold my liquor." But over time, it'll form an addiction. Over time, we could lose our job. Over time, we could lose respect in our family. Over time, we could lose privileges in the congregation. Over time, it could affect our health. Over time, we could suffer premature death. So that's why what we reap, we will eventually sow. And that's why Jehovah really appeals to us. He wants us to turn to him, to serve him, to follow his righteous standards. Now, he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want us to serve him out of fear that we're going to suffer bad consequences, but because we love him. Now, it's true, Jehovah will take action against the wicked. His justice requires that all wickedness in the near future will be removed. But it's Jehovah's love that moves him to be patient with us. Notice how that's described in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "Jehovah is not slow concerning his promise, as some people consider slowness, but he is patient with you, because he does not desire any to be destroyed, but desires all to attain to repentance." So notice that Jehovah is very patient. He wants us to serve him out of love. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 assures us that if we conform to God's will, if we do what is right according to His standards, we'll reap many blessings. We'll enjoy a happy and healthful life now, and we'll have the prospect of everlasting life. Right? We won't be among those that will be destroyed. We'll live on and enjoy blessings throughout eternity. So will we choose to honor God and respect His standards, or will we choose to mock Him? Well, it's up to us. You know, some people, they engage in practices, say, for example, smoking, even though they know it's harmful to them, right? We see that millions of people around the earth, right? They're smoking, and it's right on the packages. It warns them about the consequences of smoking, and yet they do it, despite knowing how it'll affect their health. Now, if somebody was told how it affects a loved one, that may motivate them to make a change. That was the case with my dad. I mean, before he became one of Jehovah's Witnesses, he smoked. Long before he became a witness, and he smoked. And he knew the consequences of it. But us kids, four kids, we appealed to him. Look, you know, we're suffering because of the secondhand smoke. And that moved him to quit. So somebody may quit out of love for family members, not just because of the consequences of their actions. So similarly, it's love for Jehovah, appreciation for Him, that can motivate us to make the necessary changes, to serve Him from the heart. So we encourage you to strengthen your love for Jehovah through a personal Bible study if you're here visiting. And as we strengthen our love for Jehovah, that will motivate us to serve Him and to please Him. Something else will help too. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Now, starting in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. Because we know we're surrounded by people that constantly mock Him, thinking that they could ignore His standards and not suffer the consequences. And so it can be hard to choose to honor Jehovah and do what's right. But notice what will help in verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul, thinking ability will keep watch over you, and discernment will safeguard you, to save you from the bad course, from the man speaking perverse things. So you notice what we need to acquire is thinking ability. What is thinking ability? Well, it's the ability to give wise and thoughtful consideration to a matter based on thorough knowledge. So use your thinking ability. Think about the consequences of ignoring Jehovah's standards. Think about the consequences of adopting the world's standards. And when we think about the sad consequences that will come upon us and our families, that will motivate us to reject it. Instead, use your thinking ability to contemplate the blessings, the benefits that come from following Jehovah's righteous standards. That's what we encourage you to do. And as you take notice of Jehovah's ways, He'll help us to succeed. He will help us to make the right decisions that will bring blessings to your family as well as to yourself and others. So it may be our determination to respect the adage that you reap what you sow. Let's not mock Jehovah. Let's continue to follow His standards and enjoy blessings now and forever.
Thank you very much, Brother Krishna. How encouraging it is to know that Jehovah will help us to bring our lives into harmony with His will.